Revelation tonight, if you have your Bibles, chapter number 2. Revelation chapter number 2. We sure need his help. Amen. I'm going to read several verses. I usually don't read this many. First probably 6 or so. Amen. And to the angel of the church of Ephesus write these things, saith he that holdeth the 7 stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the 7 golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. Thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love.
Amen.
Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works. Or else I will come unto thee quickly, and I will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Amen. Praise the Lord. If the Lord will help us tonight, I don't have no fancy title. I just like to preach on our first love. Amen. Or if you will, the dangers of letting that first love burn out. Amen. Praise God. We need a first love, don't we?
Yes.
Amen. And to the angel of the church of Ephesus, praise God. Here he is. In red letters, Jesus is warning this Ephesus church. Amen. If we really understand what these verses mean in the entirety, we must go back and get a little bit of history of this Ephesus. Amen. Praise God. Ephesus was located on the Castor River, just a few miles inland from the Aegean Sea. It was noted for its magnificent harbor, and ships came to Ephesus from all around the known world to bring goods and their wealth. Amen. It was politically a city of politics, because of its past service to the Empire of Rome. Listen, it was granted by Rome a free city. This means that they practiced, amen, self-government. It means that they could make whatever decisions that they wanted to. Ephesus was a free city, amen. Ephesus also was the home of the goddess Diana.
Right.
Amen. It was one of the known 7 wonders of the world. It was that temple there of Diana. It was a magnificent place. Amen. But it was an ungodly city. Amen.
Right.
How that I wouldn't even want to go into details. Right. You study later. Amen. On how polluted and how horrible, amen, the service of the god of Diana was. It was a horrible thing. Amen. How that they worshiped as they thought this god Diana. Amen. I mean, this was a wicked place. Praise God. Amen. And but in the midst of all of that wickedness, amen, in the midst of one of the most wicked places, especially in the world, and no doubt in Asia Minor, amen, was this city called Ephesus. But in that city, amen, Acts chapter number 18 tells us that God sent a man by the name of Paul to start a church. Hallelujah. Thank God. Paul founded that church and he preached here for a while, a couple years. And while he was there, amen, praise God, he wrote the 1st and the 2nd book of Corinthians. Timothy was the first bishop of that church. Amen. Aquila, Priscilla, and Apollos all labored in the Ephesian church. Great God, Acts chapter number 18. And the Apostle John also spent the last years of his life right here in the, amen, Ephesus church. Praise God. It was here, great God, that John wrote the Gospel of St. John and 3 of his epistles. Amen. According to tradition, Mary, the mother of Jesus, was buried in the city of Ephesus. Amen. Ephesus was a city of great heritage. Ephesus was a city where, amen, this church knew the real power of God. Amen. They had experienced God, I believe, in his fullest. And they knew what the power power of God really was. But amen, in the midst of this service, in the midst of this time, amen, they had let something go out. Amen. They had let the fires of their first love, they had let him go out. Amen. But before we get there, we must start, amen, in verse number 2, where Jesus begins to examine this church. Amen. He commends them. First, he begins to commend them for their service. Amen. He said, I commend thee for thy works that thou hast accomplished. Amen. This church had accomplished a great feat. They had a prosperous church in such a wicked city. Amen. All the church of Ephesus, amen, had great works. He said, I commend thee for thy labor. Amen. I mean, can you imagine labor? And, amen. You know what labor means? It means against opposition. Look at the wickedness. Look at the sin that was all around this city. But he said, I commend thee because you went up against the opposition. Hallelujah. He said, I commend thee for thy patience. Amen. Steadfast endurance. Sometimes, amen, that could be one of the greatest attributes of a man, woman, all the way down to an attribute of a church, to be patient and wait upon the Lord. Hallelujah. I commend thee for thy patience, he said. You've had great service. They knew, hey, great God, that a church would not build itself, that a church could not sustain itself, and it takes people to stick together and do the will and the work of the Lord. This was on the surface, great God, looking out from the outside, looking on, this looked like a wonderful church. Amen. This looked like a model church. It looked like a church we would want to pattern ourselves after. Amen. But oh, he goes on in the latter part of that second verse, and he commends them for their separation of the world. And I believe, church, if we're going to have a church today, a godly church, we must be separated from the world. Brother Tommy, give me 2 Corinthians 6 and 17. Thank God. He said, canst not, amen, bear them which are evil. These people were living a separated lifestyle in the midst of an immoral society. Amen. Evil, great God, that defined the world that they were a part of, never penetrated inside of the church. Hey God, Brother Earl and I have talked about this lately, and this is not my battle to worry with, but it's my battle to pray about. We've often wondered, and some of us have talked, if God stands and time stands 10, 15, 20 more years, where will the holiness church actually be? Where will it be? Amen. Thank God in heaven. You know why? Because the worldliness that is outside of us, it finds a way to penetrate inside the church. Thank God. But as wicked as Ephesus was, I mean, they worshiped the God of Diana. Amen. It was a horrible place. It was a prosperous place. It was a place where people came from around the world. But let me tell you something, as dark as it was in the day of the church, in that Ephesian church, amen, the worldliness never penetrated inside of the church. Great God, how you know that? Jesus said it then. He said, I commend you that you stayed separated. The world hasn't penetrated. Great God, you're still living a godly life. You're still living a holy standard. Great God, I come to tell us, church, we can still live right in the midst of an ungodly society. I don't care what the government deems that is legal. The church don't have to stand for it. Great God, I come to tell us, amen, it's time that the church be able to stand. And you can do it because Jesus said you can. You don't have to let worldliness come inside your heart. Well, look at this church and look at that church. What they're doing, it never mattered to me one iota. I don't care what they do. I tell you what I want to do. Amen. We're going to get to their negative part here in a minute. But I want to be like this church, this Ephesian church. I don't want to let the world penetrate inside the church. Amen. Amen.
Woo. Hey, Lord, come on.
Woo.
Hallelujah. Brother Scotty Marshall just aggravated me this morning. I don't even remember which tape they mailed out last.
No.
But he got that tape.
No.
I guess I was coming down the aisle on a few things. He said, Jason, you don't, he was just aggravating me. He said, Jason, you'll never be popular preaching like that. I said, I know, Brother Scotty. I said, to be honest with you, I guess I figured that out a long time ago. Woo! I'm not being mean here.
No.
But I could have several people right now if I wanted to let a little bit of the world penetrate in.
Come on.
Amen.
Come on.
Come on. We've been at it about 10 years or a little longer, I guess. After people have come and gone, there's more people coming on than is here right now.
Right.
Amen.
Yeah.
But most of it is people that wanted to let the world penetrate in.
Yeah.
Thank God.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. We can run a big crowd. Amen. And Jason, you don't want to run a big crowd? Yeah, I'd love to. Amen. Of holiness people. Amen. People want to live right. People that esteem the word of God true. That's the kind of people I like to have. Amen. People that want to forsake the world. Hey, God, give us that scripture, Brother Tom.
Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you.
Come out from among them. Amen. Touch not the unclean thing.
Yeah.
And he said, then I will receive you. Hallelujah. Thank God, if Jesus was to speak to this church, I mean this physical church right here tonight, thank God, in our own hearts today, I wonder if he would commend us of being a separated church. Amen. Thank God, I want to live a separated life from the world that is without us. Help us, Lord, not to let the worldly tendencies of the society that we live in penetrate inside the church. Amen.
Yes, God.
Woo!
Come on now.
Let's move on here.
Thank you, Lord.
He commends them for their standard because they held fast to correct the doctrine. Amen. Hey, God. Amen. That thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. Amen. And God, even verse number 6 said that they stood against the Nicolaitans. Hey, God, you know what that is? That's the televangelists of today. Amen. That's the false prophets and the false preachers that tell us you can live just any old way you want to live and be able to make it to God's heaven one day. Thank God that church of Ephesus, they had a standard. And they stood on it, and they believed God, and they knew that God was able to help them. And then verse number 3, he commends them for their steadfastness, and has borne, and has patience, and for my name's sake has labored, and has not fainted. Give us a church that is steadfast today. This is a church, hey God, that was carried. Carrying the load, enduring much affliction and opposition. And what they did it for the sake of the Lord. On the surface, this Ephesian church, thank God, was a wonderful church. Hey, amen. 1 Corinthians 15 and 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. This Ephesian church, he commended them for being steadfast. Amen.
Yes, Lord.
Woo!
Yeah.
Jesus.
Oh, now we got to get to his complaint.
Oh, God.
Amen. Verse number 4. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. While they look good on the surface, there are problems deep in the heart that must be dealt with. We need to understand, listen to me here. Amen. Jesus, great God, not only sees what you do. That's what we worry about. What if the Lord sees me, what I do? Yeah, he sees what you do. But did you know that Jesus sees who you are?
Right.
Woo!
Right.
Hey, God. Did you hear that?
Yes.
He not only sees what you do when you do it in the dark alley, and when you do it in the, and when you don't think nobody's looking around. Yeah, he sees that, but he goes way deeper than that. He sees who you are down deep in your heart. Hey, God. And he said, I've got someone against you. It's a heart problem. Hey, God, you don't love me like you one time loved me. I remember there was a time when I was the yearning. I was the first thing you thought about when your feet hit the floor. Hey, God, you love me more than anything. But he said, the problem is you've left your first love. Hey, God, let me notice. He didn't say you lost it. If you lost something, you go back where you think you, hey, God, you lose your keys and you go back to where you think you left them last. Hey, God. But he said, I tell you the problem. You didn't lose it. You left it. You walked off like a dad from a family. Amen. Left them behind and walked off to another. Jesus said, you've left your first love. Hey, God. I come to tell us, I wonder if that's the diagnosis of the church of today. One time, that's all we cared about was having church, worshiping him, living for him, forsaking the world. But he said, you left your first love.
Woo!
They loved their doctrine. They loved their separation. Amen. Great God. They were steadfast, but they left their first love. Getting saved. You remember that time when you got saved and you fell in love with the Lord? Great God. Amen. Then you grow in salvation, falling deeper in love with him. That's what the first love is. Great God. Whether we sing, whether we preach, whether we witness, hey, God, we do it for the Lord. Hallelujah. Hey, amen. Great God, your love should grow. The deeper you get in God, the greater love you should have. I've told you before, when I was about 16 years old, hey, God, amen. Old man Denver Stacy, I still remember his name. He is a rather wealthy man in Gilbert, lived way up on a hill, had a big fire home, and somehow he hired me when I was just a kid, amen, to mow his lawn, and they paid me good. I remember that. Praise God. We was out there talking one time. They'd been married, I think, about 60 years. Hey, God, here I am, had never fell in love yet, hadn't found the woman of my dreams yet. I didn't know what love was, but I remember that old lady telling me when I was telling her, oh, that's a long time to be married, 60 years. I remember that old lady telling me, oh, she said, 60 years ago, I thought I loved him. She said, but oh, 60 years later, I can tell you, I really love that man. And you know what she is saying? Time's got a way of building that love. Hey, I didn't know what that meant. Thank God in heaven until now, about 19 years into marriage, I got another 41, for I never reached her 60 that she had back then. But I come to tell you, when I was 18 years old and Michelle asked me out, I thought I really loved her, but thank God 19 years has come and gone. And I tell you, Brother Tommy, 5 children in sickness and in health. Hey God, in the good times and in the bad times, through death, amen, through hardships that we've dealt in each other's families, I can tell you, I really know what it's like to love her. And I come to tell you, church, that's what it ought to be with the Lord. We ought to really love him more and more and more every single day.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
My.
But instead,
come on.
We get to the place where we come to church,
Jesus,
out of obligation instead of love.
Right.
Come on now.
Woo!
Oh, gosh.
We get to the place where we get down for 5 or 10 minutes
and prayed just so we could say we did it.
Yeah.
And there was a time you couldn't wait to find an altar of prayer. You might as well help me. I'm going to preach anyway. There was a time you was itching
to get a hold of that word.
Yes. My prayer. I've always said this. The more you pray, the more you want to get that word. I do it all the time. I get down on my knees and I go to pray in a verse or a scripture. And then I look in that word right on my knees. I did that last night. I got that Bible over my spread and I begin to read. Hey, God. And I begin to read. And then I pray. The more you fall in love with prayer, you want to read His Word. And the more you read His Word, the more you want to pray. I come to tell this church, have you left your first love? Love is fervent. Love is emotional. It moves the heart. It causes the soul to thrill. Hallelujah. Amen. Can you remember how much your first love was for Jesus? Can you remember that thrill in your heart?
Oh, yeah.
Hey, God. Brother Tommy had us down there in the feet of that car this morning. That was first love, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Hey, God. That man crawled down in the floorboard of his car. Hey, God. And lay over that hump, that transmission hump, and begin to cry out and pray to the Lord and a security guard. Say, you're okay down there, buddy. That's first love. Hey, when the last time you felt that? I said, when the last time, thank God, you laid out in the house of God all night long and prayed. Not just that obligation, not just because you need a healing, but because you love Him. And He means more to you than anything. I come to tell us, great God, where has your first love gone? Amen.
I tell you what first love is. Jesus.
When Mary had that alabaster box.
Yeah, buddy.
Woo! That was worth a year's wages.
Oh, yeah.
And she opened that box up and had her on the field of the room.
Come on.
And everybody said, oh, isn't that expensive, ointment, spikenard? Isn't that expensive? Isn't that a year's wages? Oh, she didn't care. Why? Because she loved the Lord more than she cared about a year's wages. Woo! Isn't that good?
Yeah.
I said she loved Jesus more than she loved money. She loved Jesus more than she cared about anything. I come to tell us that's first love. What about Mary and Martha when Jesus came to their house? Amen. The Bible said Martha was covered about with much serving. All she thought about. Amen. There's a crowd of people here. I got to get in there and fix food up in the kitchen. Thank God, Martha. Reminded me of my mamaw painter. Amen. She worked, but she grumbled and griped while she worked. Amen. Hey. And Mary was in there at the feet of Jesus. Still had that first love. She was there taking in every word He had to say. She was there with tears running down her face. Say, Lord, tell me another verse. Preach, tell me another sermon. Thank God, Martha got upset. Lord, if Mary gonna leave me in here to amen, serve alone. And He said, Martha, Martha, thou art cumbered about with much serving. Great God, what He was saying, Martha, Martha, where's your first love? Put me first and everything else will fall in place. I come to tell us, church, let's love the Lord again.
Amen.
Woo! I want to love Him again, don't you?
Come on.
Yeah. Life's got a way.
Oh, yes, it does.
Come on.
Wearing on us.
It sure does.
Come on.
Come on, Brother Jason.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
I'm preaching to you and I'm preaching to me.
Oh, God.
I remember Brother Tommy when I got my driver's license. I was a spoiled brat, really. My dad was hurt all them years. From about 11 to about 16 or 17, we still hurt, but we like lost everything we had. Went for years. Brother Anthony said 5 years. He went. That's about how long my dad went. My mom had to go to work. Amen. But I finally called up. Finally had to back up and pay my dad. All them years. And he got a little bit of money. Amen. Thank God he bought me a truck, guys. I appreciate it. I wouldn't like a lot of spoiled brats to go out there and wreck it and run and all that kind of stuff. I really appreciated it. But I probably didn't deserve a new truck when I was 16 years old. Just to be honest with you. Amen. Oh, God. But I remember this was my prayer when I was 16 years old. A lot of other 16-year-olds were ready to go riding out on the town and have a good time and all that stuff. This was my prayer. I was praying. I prayed for it, really, that I could have a vehicle. And I said, Lord, if you'll give me a vehicle, I'm going to go down there to Man Appalachian Regional Hospital, a little bitty hole-in-the-wall hospital. I mean, they didn't have like 20 beds or something, a little bit of ER, a little small place. And I said, God, hey, man, I'm going to drive there at Man. It wasn't very far from my house, 10, 15-minute drive. I said, Lord, I'm going to drive down there at Man on a certain day. I can't remember if it's Saturdays. And I'm going to walk up and down that hospital witnessing and praying for the sick and telling people about Jesus. Hey, God, that's what I did. I love the Lord so much, Brother Tom. Hey, I went up down them hallways and I prayed for them sick people and I told them about Jesus. Hey, God in heaven. Hey, I ought to get back to that. Amen. I know it's different. Right now you couldn't get in the hospital if your life depended on it. Hey, I know times are different. But Lord, help me, God, to get back to that first love where all I cared about is what pleased you, Lord. Where all I cared about was not a career, but a Savior. Hey, I come to tell this church where, what happened to your first love?
Oh, Jesus. What happened to it?
Oh, God.
Jesus.
Lord, help us.
Oh, God.
Amen. Amen. Are there some that are serving because what people expect from them and not because they love the Lord?
Oh,
don't do this out of obligation.
Come on.
That's right.
Don't do this just because it's not, you know what you have to do. Do this because it's what you love to do.
Yes.
That's it.
Woo. Yes.
I always heard people say when I was growing up, when you work, find something you love to do and you can do it a lot longer.
Mm-hmm. And better.
Yeah. I've become a nurse. Probably hated 12 years of it. How many years did you work? 12. I did it because my dad said that'd be a good thing to do. I mow grass, it's a hard job, but I enjoy doing it. Hey, man, I enjoy doing it. Old Nick down there, I'm sort of, Jonathan then went down to First Street Barbershop down where Tony is. Tony's dad, Nick, was a barber. He just died here. Right in this pandemic, he died. I think he was 96 years old, and he was still cutting hair. Amen. He cut my hair about a year or two ago. He got a little too shaky. There you go. And he's taking her down to the skin. Woo. You say, Nick, I don't want it very short this time. You come out as short as ever. He cut it how he wanted to cut it. Great God. But anyway, he's a barber for almost 70 years. I think it was 67 years he cut hair. And I'll never forget, I was over in the middle chair one day and old Nick was over. Every time he take his hand and cut somebody's hair, he had lip go. He had a little thing he did all the time. He did that song. Hey, God, I seen him over cutting that hair one day, and I looked at Tony. I said, Tony, I wonder what in the world, 96 years old, I think he's 95 at this time, 95 years old, still coming out here cutting hair. And she looked at me, and she smiled real big, and she said, I'll tell you why he still cuts hair. And I was waiting for a profound answer. She said, I'll tell you why he still comes out here and cuts hair every day. I said, why is that, Tony? She said, he loves what he does. He loves to cut hair. Hey, God, I come to tell you, church, hey, it's been about 25 years I've been serving the Lord. And somebody might ask, why are you still serving him? I tell you why, because I love him. Hey, God, he's been so good to me. I come to tell you, I love him, I love him, I love him. Hey, I said, I'll do some of you some good. I raise a hand and say, Lord, I love you, God, more than anything. You've blessed me. You've healed me. Hey, God, you've protected me. Lord, you paid my bills. You've been a God, and I love you. Oh, God. Amen. Oh, I love him. Do you love him here tonight?
Yes.
I said, do you love him?
Yes.
Hey, God in heaven, when you preach, who do you preach for? We've all been hurt. Brother Tom or Brother Earl one recently said, hey, amen, when the crowd's low, sometimes the devil will tell you. Has he ever told you? Oh, yeah. He's told me. I'm sure he's told you. I'm sure he's told Brother Tommy on a Sunday morning when the crowds are low. Hey, God. Wait, I'm sure that old devil's whispered in his ear just like he's whispered in mine. Why are you worrying about preaching to just these few that come? Hey, God. I want you to listen very carefully to what I'm about to say. Hey, God, I love you with all of my heart. That's why I'm here right now. Hey, God, that's why I got a stack of sermons. Amen. Fills the shelf up at the house. And I preached the last 10 years of my life. I love you with all my heart. Hey, God, but I found out a long time ago. Hey, God, I'm not here. Amen. Preaching for the crowds. I'm here preaching for the Lord. There's a great cloud of witnesses. There's a heavenly host looking on tonight. And I've been faithful to preach to 10 or to preach to 40. Great God in heaven, I come to tell us, keep that love, keep that fervent love. Don't let the devil wear on your love.
Amen.
Praise you, Lord.
Be faithful in the little things and he'll reward you.
Yes.
Over the big things.
He'll do it. Lord. He'll do it.
Yes.
Be faithful, church.
Glory.
Be faithful. Yes. Has it not bothered you? Oh, yeah.
Yes.
It's bothered me many times, but I'm finally past that stage in my ministry.
Come on, bro.
Where I don't look at the crowd. Okay. Amen. Many times I've said, Lord, I've got a sermon. I feel like you give me on my heart. And I feel like that person that I really felt like preaching to wasn't there.
Yeah.
It's confused me.
Yeah.
I'm like, Lord. But all I know to do is I'm the mail carrier. There you go. All I can do is deliver the letter whether the homeowner's home or not. Praise God. Amen. Lord, help us. Amen. So verse number 5, he gives them a remedy. Great God. He came to them. Glory. With the word of, amen, commending. He commended them. He came with a word of complaint. You've left your first love. But verse number 5, he's giving them a word how to get it corrected. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent. Hey, God, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of this place, except thou repent. What's he saying? Go back to the first love again. Hey, God, do you remember how tender it used to be? Do you remember how freely you used to pray? Do you remember how vibrant that word was in your heart? Go back there. And he said, you'll find my love again. I come to tell us, as your love dwindled, are you doing what you're doing out of obligation? Go back to the first time. Say, Lord, take me back to the first love, to that first order. Hey, and renew my first love.
Hallelujah.
Preach to you, burning my heart tonight.
Jesus.
Change of mind will lead to a change of action.
Yes.
Amen. Jesus is telling them that they need to repent of the sin of not loving him like they should. They need to search their hearts and change their attitude toward the Lord. We have allowed everything in the world to come before the Lord today.